www.ecosystemsolutions.org. Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. A changing paper for changing times. The Columbus Dispatch was set to launch a new format, a very new format, next week, but readers will have to wait a little bit longer. Yesterday, the Dispatch announced its September 10th launch would be indefinitely delayed because of mechanical issues at its production facility. But that just gives us more time to look forward to it. And we're going to talk today with Dispatch editor Ben Marison about what we're going to look forward to. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Thanks for having me on.
So I guess the obvious first question, why are you making the change? Why are you going to all this trouble now and why this change?
There's a few reasons. You know, first, everything needs to be improved. We have a pretty good newspaper. We think it can be made better. So everything should be upgraded when it can. And if you look at your first cell phone, mine was the size of a cinder block and didn't do much, and now it's fast.
The size and the weight of a cinder block.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, laptops, computers were giant, slow behemoths, and now they're fast and light and portable. So why not reinvent the newspaper? So that's one reason. Another is we have a giant printing facility that we don't get to use as efficiently as we can. So with this change, we're going to be able to print the Cincinnati Enquirer, the Kentucky Enquirer at our facility and make better use of the plant, bring some jobs to Central Ohio. And third, the people like the size. And when we began testing this, the convenience of it, the portability of it, the way we've redesigned it to make it easy to navigate, people loved. And that made it worth the work. It's been fun. It's been really challenging from every aspect of newspapering, but it's been fun being the leader in the world at this. It comes with a lot of pressure, but the newsroom is jazzed that we're going to be first, and we're doing something that is really focused on what readers want.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Ben Marison, editor of the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about the new format. It'll be coming up in a few weeks, some maybe months. I don't know. I'm going to talk to him about that, too. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about the style of the newspaper, not necessarily exactly the content. So what do you think? Have you heard about it? What do you think about it? Call us. You can also go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. You mentioned Cincinnati and Kentucky Enquirers. You'll be printing those for
Correct.
Them. Are they going to be going into the same format as well?
Yeah, actually, when we started this whole process about 2 years ago, Cincinnati was looking for a printing partner. And they came to us and, you know, we have capacity. And we heard from them that no matter if we make this happen or not, they were going to this format. So we decided, well, what is this new format that this major chain, I think they have 81 daily newspapers, what is it that they see in this? So we began looking at it. And when I first saw it, I thought, no way. Our readers don't like change and they're not going to like this. But I brought it back to the newsroom and shared it with the really smart people who I get to work with. And they instantly saw great opportunities, what you could do because the size is shorter. You can design it differently and make it much more convenient for readers to navigate. So they had the idea. We tested it ourselves. We did market research here. They did market research in Cincinnati. And incredibly, we came back with the exact same data. People love it. And so we didn't know what their questions were. They didn't know what ours were. But we tested similarly, and we discovered that it's pretty universal, that people would not have, on their own, they would not design a newspaper the size of today's modern newspaper. They want this size, but they want sections. They don't want a tabloid. They want to be able to separate the paper easily, share it, go to the spots where they typically go, whether you rate like sports or business or national news or what have you.
So when you talk about people liking the size, this is something you discovered after the fact, but also before the fact. You didn't go forward until you were satisfied that this is something people would really enjoy.
Yeah, we did when we first saw it, we had to prototype it. So we did a quick prototype, and we went out into the market, and we did focus groups. And the focus groups were off the charts positive. of course, the skeptic journalist, I said, we must have a bad focus group. And so we did another one. And the results came back just as positively. And we said, well, we must have had two bad focus groups because it can't be that positive. So then we sent out 300 copies of the prototype to subscribers. You know, everybody hates Congress but loves their congressman. So we thought, you know, people might like to see other papers change but not their own. So let's send them their paper reformatted and see what feedback we get. And I helped write the questions so that they couldn't be pushed to give a positive answer. If anything, they were pushed to give a negative answer to really test people. And the results were the same as in the focus group, overwhelmingly positive. 3/4 of the people prefer this format to the current format.
Is it less expensive to produce? Is there any financial gain in changing the size of the paper? Besides, obviously, it creates a revenue source when you're printing papers for other, you know, when printing papers in other cities.
Well, if we were not going to add pages back, then we would save money on print. But we're adding pages back. So we're going to shorten the page but add more pages. So the content doesn't change.
Even the length of the stories won't change?
They may be tightened up a little bit, but we've been wanting to do this for years. Sometimes our stories run too long, and you're smiling because you know that's the case.
Yeah, well, still some of the stories run very, very long, and I'm wondering what it would look like in this size paper.
Well, today's dispatch, you can get 120 inches of type.
You can, but it doesn't look good necessarily.
It doesn't look good. So, but in terms of raw space, 120 inches of type. With this, it's about 80 inches of type. So okay. We can still get really long stories on there. And if it's all type, it won't look good either. But if you look, when you open those pages up, you can contain a single topic to a page in the new format. Whereas in the old format, it was too big. You would always have multiple subjects unless you had, you know, the coverage of the convention would have sidebars on those pages. But with this, it really allows for us to create what, as we went through it, we kept hearing the same thing, that it feels like a daily news magazine. That's how it feels. The pages are very conducive to great packaging. And so that's what we'll be able to do. But, you know, I've been trying unsuccessfully to get reporters to write tighter. People are in a hurry. I mean, they just are. And I think we can, if we write 10% shorter on a lot of our stories, we can still get all the information in.
But, you know, writing shorter is always harder than writing longer.
It's much harder. Yeah. Yes, it is.
John in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, glad to be here. I've been a subscriber of the Dispatch for 49 years.
Thank you.
And always enjoyed it. And I occasionally, especially when I'm traveling, I go to the Internet and read the Dispatch. And I'm just wondering, will the new format still be on the Internet?
Yes, it will. Thanks for your support and for your question. We will have digital access. What's interesting, I don't know if you have an iPad and look at our iPad app, but this new format on the iPad app is ridiculously good. It is like it was created for that size. If you go back, in fact, if you look this Saturday, because our game day section that advances the football game is printed in the new format.
Right.
If you look at it on your iPad, you will be blown away at how it fits.
How it translates to
that. It's just unbelievable.
You know, last week I was traveling and I did go to the Internet. And now, you know, I'm paying over $340 a year to subscribe to the Daily and Sunday Dispatch. And now when I went to the Internet, they're telling me now, all of a sudden, I have to pay extra in addition to this $340 to get the Internet version. Is that true and is that right?
That is true. The reality is, when we launched Dispatch.com, I want to say it was in 1985, the content on the website was purely the content that's in the paper. Today, it's not that way. We're posting content on Dispatch.com all day, well into the night, that isn't necessarily in the paper. We have about 25 people who work full-time on digital alone. They're posting videos and slideshows and additional content, 30-some blogs, that the paper doesn't pay for. So we have to get some of that investment back. And there's an expense to making that content available when you travel. The iPad app, it costs us a lot of money to create, to develop the app. The website doesn't come free. So there's a small charge. Depending on what your subscription rate is, there's a small charge for that access.
John, thanks for bringing that up. Take care.
Well, one more thing.
Okay.
Shouldn't my $343 a year give me internet access? I mean, I can get USA Today on there anytime free, and I don't even subscribe to it. Or all the local TV stations, they have internet sites, late news, videos, and they don't charge for it.
So I guess you're saying it's not the same product?
Yeah, we don't. I mean, I can't find anything about Central Ohio and USA Today. And so we have a lot of people working around the clock producing content for Dispatch.com and for the Dispatch that we have to pay for. They're not coming to work for nothing. You'll see there's, I think the number is 186. I could be wrong, but I think it's 186 daily newspapers now charge for online access. And it's going to keep going because more and more people are going there. In fact, when we made this change and began charging for digital access, we had people, I don't have the number right, it's in the thousands, people who went from not being a subscriber to being a paid print subscriber because they said, well, if I'm going to pay, I might as well get the paper. So our circulation is going up because people now realize they can't have that for free. And I think people know deep down that they should pay for that content.
Thank you, John. Ann in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Hi. I'm excited to talk to you about this today. My 90-year-old mother looks forward to the Dispatch every day. It's like the highlight of her day, and I'm hoping to hear that the print size won't change, like the letters.
The font.
Yeah, the font for her eyesight.
You know, the number one thing we heard when we showed people the prototype was that you're not going to mess with the font. We are not. We are not.
Oh.
We're not making it smaller. Interestingly, when Cincinnati shared their prototype, people thought theirs type was bigger, and they didn't change it. We're not changing the font size.
Great news.
Yeah, the body type will not change. We're going to change a little bit of some of the display type, but it'll be big, and you'll like it.
Okay, great.
Thank you for
so
the question,
much.
And thank you
All
for
right.
your mom.
Thanks,
Ann.
Yeah, thanks, Ann. If you want to give us a call and talk with Ben Marison, editor for the Columbus Dispatch, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Real quick, before we move on, I wanted to ask you about whether or not you looked at any other options besides this option. Were there any other changes that were even possible besides this sort of change?
You know, we didn't... not that I'm aware of. The only thing that we looked at was what we know we have a good newspaper. It's been named best in the state 3 of the last 4 years. The content is very strong. As you know, having worked there, the newsroom is full of really, really talented people. And so we didn't have a problem we were setting out to fix. But when we saw this and tested it, the reaction was so overwhelmingly positive that we were foolish not to pursue it.
And one more question before we move on. Cheaper to deliver? Does it have any benefit when it comes to delivery?
No. This isn't a cost-saving endeavor. This really is about taking something that's good and making it better. It's taking the first-generation smartphone and coming out with the fifth. It's about convenience. It's about packaging. We listened. We had years of research from what people told us they value in the paper and what they want more of. And what they didn't give us credit for. For instance, you'll notice because you have the paper next to you, we're adding a daily Nation and World section because people in our market are very concerned about Nation and World.
Instead of having to turn to page 2.
Right. So we're going to give them a section devoted to that. So that's an additional feature. We've heard from readers that they want a standalone business section, that it being inside the A section, they don't like that. So we're adding a standalone business section.
When you took away the standalone business section, you and others things, you were able to condense the copy desk, the operations at the final, at the end.
Right.
And are you going to have to break that up again? Are you going to have to hire more people to produce this, to produce more sections?
No, you don't realize how much capacity you have until you're called to give it. And we're able to produce a lot with the people we have. We have just some really tremendously talented folks. So they're going to work hard, but everybody's working hard across America, you know, in just about every job.
Ben Marison, editor for the Columbus Dispatch. He's going to stay with us, so you can still bring your questions, 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the world and Obama, Bin Laden, Iran, Russia, drones, China. We'll look at Obama's global imprint. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today, and sunny skies for this afternoon. There is a chance of a pop-up afternoon shower and a high of 88. Partly cloudy with a chance of rain for tonight, a low of 63. Sunshine and summer temperatures still here with a high near 90 for Friday. Support for 89.7 comes from the Barbara K. Fergus Women in Leadership Lecture Series, featuring Alice Rivlin, September 10th at the Ohio Union. The lecture is open to the public. Early arrival is encouraged. Registration at glenschool.osu.edu/Fergus. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the format change for the Columbus Dispatch. Coming up a little bit later, we'll talk about the delay and why that's occurred. But still with us is Ben Marison, editor for the Columbus Dispatch. And joining us now is Stephen Kamavez. He is executive director of the Society for News and Design. And before that, he served as a board member there. And he's also a former design editor at the Orlando Sentinel. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So the Dispatch is the first in the nation to do this sort of a thing. Do you think it'll be the last?
No, I highly doubt it'll be the last. I think it's actually a refreshing change. There are a lot of changes going on in newspapers nationwide. Mostly what you're seeing, though, is consolidation of design desks, of writing desks, and also a lot of papers, and especially among the bigger chains, are actually reducing the number of days that they print. New Orleans, for instance, the Times-Picayune, announced recently they're going to only print 3 days a week. And there are a couple other papers, smaller papers, that have announced the same thing. In Detroit, there's a partnership between the Free Press and the Detroit News that also has reduced the number of days that they are actually printing the paper up there. So I think this is a very welcome and refreshing approach to an issue of, while it's not necessarily about reducing costs, newsprint is the biggest cost in a newspaper. People in paper are what cost the most. So there are efficiencies to be realized by going to a tabloid format in the overall cost. But what's really welcome is that clear that Columbus is not cutting out the content and the number of stories that they will be telling.
And it's not exactly a tabloid format. They're going to have sections.
Right. I'm sorry if I have missed.
That's okay. But what do you think about the idea of keeping that sort of that vestige of the old way?
Technically, yes. It's a compact paper. Tabloid, I know it has some sort of connotations that I don't want to get into. Mm-hmm. But yes,
right.
There are a number of reasons why this is a very smart way to do it. I think it's very intelligent engineering. First of all, broadsheet newspapers are not very friendly to the reader anyway. They are a clumsy format. They were created a couple hundred years ago in Britain, basically because the papers there were taxed by the page. And so the press people set up configurations to make the page size as large as possible to avoid taxation. It really wasn't done with the reader in mind. And readers in studies for the last 10, 15, 20 years have been telling us they want a smaller, they want a more compact paper. They want it to be easier to manage. There's also what's smart about what Columbus's approach is taking on here is preserving the sections. And readers have also told us in forums, we want a smaller format, but we want to be able to pass the paper around. If you tie it all into one section like a traditional tabloid format would do, you lose the ability to hand your husband the business section while you read the sports section or your kids read the features pages, things like that. So there's some smart engineering taking place here, and I think I'm looking forward to this because I think it represents kind of an exciting change in the country, and I hope
instead of a depressing one.
Yes, there have been thousands of journalists since 2008 who have lost their jobs thanks to the recession, and there's been cost cutting and consolidation happening throughout the industry, and this is a really welcome approach and one that is putting the reader first. And I think it's going to be well received, and I hope it will show other editors and publishers that there are ways to improve the paper and better serve your communities without necessarily cutting down the number of journalists and the number of stories that you are telling.
You made a point, and I wanted to ask Ben about this, that the broadsheet was not designed or was not necessarily done with the reader in mind. Everything about what you're doing is about the reader being in mind, Ben. And I wonder about that, that you can't afford not to do what's in the reader's interest.
What's we
anymore, because there's too much competition.
Well, if you look at that, what television does really well is they listen to research. Newspapers never did because they didn't have to. But with the pressure on newspapers, you now have to. And so when we built this news format, we stripped it naked. We started with blank pages and said, what would readers tell us to do? That was first. What do advertisers need us to do? That was second. And overlaying all of that is, what journalism do we have to do? What's our responsibility? It's interesting that what Stephen said, this will be the new format in the country. I'm positive of it. Based on the calls we're getting around the country for people who want us to come tell them everything we've done and everything we've learned, there's huge interest. We went to the NAA, National Association, Newspaper Association of America, in the spring with the format, and it was the buzz of the convention. Now, some people there wanted us to fail because it's hard work. You know, this is a really significant change, and it's a big investment. You know, it's easy for a publisher to not invest. You could just do what they're doing elsewhere and stop publish number of days a week. We're spending millions of dollars to reinvent the paper so that it's a whole new experience for readers. That's what you have to do, and that's what we set out to do. And I think what Stephen says backs that up.
What's surprising to me is that more papers haven't tried to take this approach earlier, because it's been clear really since 9/11 that traditional newsprint advertising wasn't going to come back, and that things like Craigslist had permanently eroded classified advertising. So the traditional revenue streams were gone, and adjustments really needed to be made. Newspapers are not losing readership nearly as fast as they've lost ad dollars in the last decade.
That's correct. One of the things we did, to your point, Stephen, is we knew from advertising, our advertising executives, that the advertisers, they like adjacencies. I mean, there's a reason why there are beer commercials during athletic events, right? Well, they want to have some certainty that this type of content will be on this type of page. And so when we built this, we've built in anchored advertising positions so that, for instance, in our at-home section, there's a subsections inside there, gardening, do-it-yourself, and real estate, three hugely popular areas. With this, if you are a nursery in this community and you want to get eyeballs on your ad, then you want to own that spot on our gardening page. And what's happening is they're buying those positions out. That doesn't happen. But it is, because it's a whole new experience.
You've changed the value of that slot. Dick and Powell, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dick.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I set the phone down.
That's okay.
Thank you for getting me on the air. I have a concern, an irritant, and if this is all about the customer, I'm a customer who's been around since 1987, subscribing 7 days a week. On the other hand, you've been hyping this new format continuously throughout that, and it's getting to be almost as dreary as listening to more political commentary. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Well, what about the promotion of it, Ben?
It's when we
people may have different opinions about that, but I'm sure if there's a dick out there, there probably are a few more people.
Yeah, I haven't heard. That's the first complaint I've heard
about how much promotion.
Yeah. But when our our marketing vice president, he said, when this is over, people are going to be thinking of three things: Obama, Romney, New Dispatch. That we want to be in people's faces for two reasons. One, we don't want to surprise Dick and our other 270,000 subscribers on Sundays. We don't want to surprise people. It's a major change. But we also want to those people who maybe tried us before and didn't like the experience because the paper is bulky or what have you, for them to understand it's a new day. So we're not ashamed of our advertising campaign, and our circulation is rising because we're more in people's minds.
It is tricky. It is a tricky thing when you launch a redesign because on the one hand, the last thing a newspaper reader wants is to be surprised. And what's also often surprising when redesigns are launched is you realize just how much ownership readers feel over their local paper. And change to any sort of convention or thing that we've come to rely on in our lives can sometimes be hard to stomach. So it's probably a little tough to try to strike the proper balance between making people aware of the changes that are coming and where to find their crossword puzzle when the new Dispatch is launched, versus not hyping it so much that you're, taking away from the news.
Thank you, Dick, for that call. We appreciate it. John in Columbus, you're on the air with Ben Marison, editor for the Columbus Dispatch, and also Stephen Komovas. He is executive director of the Society for News and Design. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the show. Ben, my one question is kind of relative to the consistency. One of the things that it's a lot of work for you guys to get this reformatted, and people are going to be, this is different, and kind of react differently when things change. Sunday paper, comic section. You talked about things being in same places, or that kind of thing. Why do they do the comic sections move around in there? Like Beetle Bailey's on page one first time. This Sunday, next Sunday, it's on the third page. That's relative to the consistency issue, too. And I've been reading the Dispatch since the mid-60s. So, you get used to certain things. I appreciate that. I hope everything works well with the new format. Please consider the Sunday format for the comics.
Well, explain the Sunday comics, because that's a little bit different, isn't it, Ben? Or is it not going to change?
The Sunday comics shouldn't really change much. We're not changing the shape of that page.
But do you do the layout of the comics on Sunday?
No, they're done. We contract that out. Most newspapers do that. There's a company, I think they're in Buffalo, that does it for just about everybody. What sometimes pushes one comic inside might be that an advertiser bought a spot on the cover, and so something might get moved, but it's not. It's usually still there. It might just be in a different spot.
Thank you, John, for that call, because it does bring up that issue, that sense of ownership and how you make a big change but still keep, again, the vestiges of the stuff that is really important to people. You were talking earlier, Ben, about the big change in the daily comic section or however you guys describe it. Mm-hmm. Where the crosswords are, there's a big change there. And I remember from the last format change, the big one, mm-hmm. about, 8 years ago or something like
Right.
When I was working there and we were taking calls from people, the comics section was one of the biggest bones of contention.
Well, then,
people.
If you remember,
shockingly,
we dropped a couple of comics.
Right.
Because they had low readership. But we heard from everybody who read it. So with this reformatting, we are not dropping comics. In fact, we're pulling comics from, there were two that we brought back that because readers were so upset, but we couldn't fit them on that page. So with this new format change, we now can fit them on the page. So they're all back together again, one big happy family. But one of the things we heard, we left no detail unnoticed. We heard from readers that they like to share the comics and they like to share the puzzles. But because we put the comics on two pages and the puzzles on one, they couldn't share them. So this format change, we're spreading the comics out over 5 pages. We're spreading the puzzles out so that you can do one, your son, daughter, husband, wife can do another one. We've tried to pay attention to every little wish of our readers. We won't satisfy everybody 100%, but we're going to be pretty darn close.
Stephen Kamavas, does the same thing work in any city? When you talk about seeing this spreading across the country, we have an email from Samuel. He says, I could see the smaller size working in big commuter cities like New York and Boston, places where you sit on a cramped train for 45 minutes every day. This would be easier to handle for travel. But Columbus is not a commuter city like that. So why here?
I think you'll be surprised. I think actually people are adaptable to formats anywhere. And readers may not have the same sort of patterns in their daily lives, whether they're based in Columbus or in New York. But they will be attracted to the same things, and they will appreciate the usability features anywhere. Compact formats are very popular outside of the United States and outside of areas that are traditionally British, although even the Independent on Sunday in London went to a compact format. A lot of it is because they are driven by these papers elsewhere, especially in Europe and Australia and New Zealand, are driven by street sales as opposed to daily paid circulations where newspapers are tossed in driveways or put in boxes. So that's part of it. But readers appreciate usability first and foremost. And while the Dispatch is the first paper to take everything and put it into a compact format, there have been really compelling success stories in this country where papers have taken a lot of their content and repackaged it in commuter tabloids. The Washington Post Express and the Red Eye in Chicago are both really good examples. Red Eye is the Chicago Tribune repackaging. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take a look at a really entertaining YouTube video, there's a street camera set up outside looking at boxes on the streets, and you see people left and right picking up Red Eye and nobody stopping to pick up the Chicago Tribune in the box right next to it, or USA Today, or even the Chicago Sun-Times, which has been, you know, compact format for many years. So readers will adapt. And while there are changes from community to community, this is a pretty homogenous country, and people appreciate usability more than anything. And as long as those features are put first, and as long as it's funny, the issues that you'll be addressing from readers there concerning comics, concerning puzzles, concerning all of those kind of minutia issues that really don't get a lot of, you know, play in newsrooms because we like to talk about front page, you know, Obama versus Romney and things like that. Those are the things that are going to make or break the success of this launch.
Kim in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hi. My question has to do with the format. The new format where the editor had said they were trying to get the writers to shorten their stories. When I watch TV and I watch the news, I only get so much information. The whole point of me going either online or opening a Dispatch is to get more details. Okay. And if they're going to shorten the stories, where are the details going to go? Otherwise, I can just sit and watch TV and get diddly squat.
All right, Kim. Thanks for the call.
Kim, thanks for the question.
There's
going to be plenty of details. I mean, what we've observed over years, and Anne, as a former newspaper reporter, we'll see if she confesses having done this herself. If we have a story that is worth 20 inches, so a typical newspaper story is 15, 16 inches. So let's just say it's worth 20 inches. It's a little longer than what we think a typical story is. And now we assign 2 people to work on that story. We want it done faster. What typically happens is those reporters turn in a 40-inch story. They each do 20, or maybe they do 35. And so if they interview 15 people, they want to quote all 15 people. It's human nature because somebody took their time to grant you an interview, and you want to quote them. The problem is you can have duplication. What we're trying to get rid of is having 3 or 4 people say the same thing. We want to bring you new information so that every inch of space that we use on a story has extra value. And when we talked about it in the newsroom, you know, the reporters understandably, you know, were ready to take my head off. But, you know, I raised that issue with them, and they all acknowledged, yes, yeah, we do that. And we your time is valuable. And so is your money. So we're going to make sure that when you're spending your money and your time reading the newspaper, that you're getting, we're not wasting space or time. But we're not going to cheat details. Now, some stories we're not going to be able to trim. Some stories are going to have to be 80 inches long. We're still going to do those giant investigative projects and those huge takeouts that we are very well known for. That's going to continue. And those stories would run over multiple pages as they do today. But on the routine stuff, we need to be more thoughtful.
Stephen Komovas, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, you bet. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on. And I look forward to the launch. It's going to be a very exciting thing in our industry, and I look forward to seeing how it evolves.
Thank you, Stephen.
Stephen Komovas, he's Executive Director of the Society for News and Design. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Ben Morrison about the format change for the Columbus Dispatch. And also joining us, Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Apparently, that section is changing a lot because of the format change, but she thinks in a good way. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, life in an assisted living facility when you're decades younger than the average resident. We talk with Martin Bain. He moved into an assisted living facility 8 years ago in his mid-50s as a result of young onset Parkinson's disease. A former journalist and Zen monk, he now publishes a literary journal featuring writers in their 60s and older. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon. Stay right here in just about 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. Hour 2 of All Sides begins, and it's a preview of the final night of the Democratic National Convention. Join us for All Sides from 11 till noon here on 89.7 NPR News. 75 degrees in downtown Columbus, mostly sunny today. There is a chance of a late afternoon pop-up shower and a high of 88. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of rain as well, a low of 63. Sunny and hot on Friday with a high of 90 and a chance of rain throughout the day on Saturday, a high of 72. Support for 89.7 comes from Edible Columbus, a magazine devoted to culinary traditions, seasonal cooking, and the local food movement in our community. More information on the fall edition, coming September 15th, can be found at ediblecolumbus.com. And All Sides continues here on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about the format change at the Columbus Dispatch, and it was supposed to be launched on September 10th. Still with us, Ben Morrison, editor for the Dispatch, and joining us now, Robin Davis. She is food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Robin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Ben, let's get to the delay. Mm-hmm. You know, the one fellow, I think it was John and Powell, said... complaining about the promotion, and I have to imagine you really wanted to launch this before the before the election day. This is a great way to show it off during the election season. So, are we going to get any election season coverage in the new Dispatch?
I'm pretty sure we'll be out on the street before the election. The issue is with the mechanical equipment at the plant. I could get into the details, but people would turn off your show, and we don't want that. But we just, last week we had some issues with delivery caused by the production malfunctions. And so we made, I think, the prudent decision to not go forward with something that could be marred by production problems. So a new product is a really big deal. It's a big change for folks. We don't want to make them angry by not being 100% confident we can hit their doorsteps when we're supposed to. So we had to delay it. We're a little disappointed because we're so excited. We worked really hard. Lots of people worked really hard to get this ready, and there's genuine excitement in the community about it. But, you know, delays happen. My Well, I have four kids, and my first one was over 2 weeks late, and I didn't love him any less because he decided to come late. So we're hoping that people will have the same view when this shows up.
When it rolls out, will everybody start getting it at the same time?
Yeah, we will produce it. When we switch, we'll switch.
Will there be delays at the outset?
We're trying not to. That's part of the reason we're holding off now, is we want to have confidence in reliability.
How do you switch from one size of newspaper one day to another size the next day and still get enough out there to, you know, for all your subscribers and all the boxes and that sort of thing? How do you do that?
That's a great question. We have four presses, and so you can set them up so they can be converted to broadsheet and then back to what we're calling the new broadsheet. But right now we're in this transition where we don't have the backup to go to these other presses because they're being converted, which is why we had these delays. And so we want to get everything done, everything tested, and then once we switch, we can switch. It's really challenging, as you can guess, but it's been fun.
Robin Davis, you and I spoke earlier this summer about cooking and harvesting and that sort of thing. And in the process of that conversation, you brought up how excited you were about your section and how this format change, you think, enhances your section. And there's nothing more traditional than the food section, as you know, from taking over not too many years ago, about 8 or 9 years ago. I think you've been with the Dispatch now.
It's 10 years this week, actually. Yeah. Can you believe
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
3 years this week on the show for me this week,
congratulations.
By the way. So anyways, tell us about the changes and why you think they actually enhance the food section.
Well, the thing that's going to be the best about the food section now is we have the ability to offer color photography for all of our photographs. And we're going to have more photographs in it, which as much as I can make a recipe sound delicious in print, if I can show you a color photograph, how much better is that? And that's a great enhancement. Let me also tell you, things were not changing. Cook's Corner is not shrinking. It's spreading over two pages. It's not going to be smaller. We're not going to have fewer recipes. We're not getting rid of anything. We're just making it more readable.
Is that going to be the case throughout the paper, that color can be printed on every page, Ben?
We won't have color on every page. There's just not enough capacity for that. There will be more color pages, and there will be more pages. So we have to split up the press run differently so that we can get all the needs in for all the content. But there will be more color, and the goal is to make it even better color. The food section, I think, it looks fantastic. If you go to Cook's Corner, those recipes, they've been reformatted. They look so good.
I agree with that. I mean, they really do look like a magazine now, like something you could pull out of a glossy magazine. The layout of them, they're very readable. I just think they look fantastic. I really do think that the food section looks terrific in this format.
You know,
I'm sorry, you've
worked with the folks that work at the Dispatch, and you know how talented they are. And by starting from scratch and turning these people loose, we were able to come up with something that is really, really exciting, and it packages the content in ways that it ought to be packaged.
Are pictures going to be smaller?
On covers, they will be, because you have a smaller canvas, so we'll have.
But within the scale of it, they'll look.
Yeah, they'll still be dominant photos. We'll actually need more photos because we have more pages to fill.
Right, and more sort of covers within covers, within sections. So you have that cover right there on Life and Arts, but then inside that you'll have other covers, so you'll have that big photograph that goes with that. It's not just the front page you're going to be looking at each section. It's within. It's really going to drive you inside the paper, too.
Email from Doug. He says, I appreciate the paper's recognition of the week of delivery problems and the offer for a free week added to the paid subscription. I did not appreciate having to call the customer service number and then be put on hold twice for 20 minutes to be able to claim the offer. The better offer would have been for the Dispatch to have simply said, we have added a paid week to your subscription. Thank you for your patience and understanding as we continue to work through our production issues. Don't make us jump through hoops. Good point. I mean, why does somebody have to say that? Is that some kind of legal issue that you have to okay to get a free week of
I don't. That's not my department. I don't know. Not everybody had late papers. So you wanted the people who were affected to call in. That doesn't mean everybody won't. We added staff on the call centers And we contract with a company because we can't handle it all ourselves. And for some reason, they didn't have their staffing in when we expected them to be in. So we run the ad telling people call, and they weren't ramped up as they were supposed to be. So then we frustrated folks. So if anybody tried to get through and couldn't, just email me, bmarison@dispatch.com. Give me your name, address, and phone number that the account's in, and we'll take care of it.
Back when you had the big format change 8 or 9 years ago, whenever that was, you had staff actually answering the phones because it felt more personal. And is that going to be the case this time?
No, because we're...
Staff is about... There are fewer.
Well, there are fewer, but there's... Every time we've thought we've had a problem that, you know, if we do this, this could turn out badly this way, we've been proven wrong. Every single issue we've thought about, for instance, one of the first issues was the Sunday inserts. So you get all those big ads. We don't print the ads. They're given to us, and we pay companies to distribute them. So what's going to happen with those ads? That's going to stick out funny, we thought, and that would be a downer, we thought. When we showed it to focus groups, they said, oh, thank you. Now I can easily separate my content from my advertising content, and I'm happy. And we were like, no kidding. It's a plus. It's not a negative. It's everything we thought of that people might not like, because people don't like change. Actually, it turned out that they said, I like this better. Thank you for thinking me. I was thinking that you ought to do that. It's been pretty amazing. So we don't think we're going to have the issue. We are going to have additional phones staffed, but we're hoping that it won't be as... And we're not getting rid of Judge Parker, which was the big problem. And we're not getting rid of Bridge, which you remember was
yes,
the big problem
Bridge.
Last
Omar
time.
Omar Sharif
That's
lives.
Right. So we okay. are not touching those.
Norma and Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Norma.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a reader of the Dispatch since the early 90s. Get it regularly every day. Thank you. I'm concerned when you're shortening the number of people that get quoted, because when I'm looking at local stories, I frequently pay attention to who got quoted. When I know some back, I might know some background about the story. I might see that this person was a good one to quote. Or why did they put that person? He really doesn't have a clue. And if you and it gives more of an authoritative air to show the reporter really did a good investigation of the story when he has multiple quotes. And I was hoping you'd keep that in mind when you're shortening stories.
We will. Thanks for the question. We'll still have multiple quotes, and we're not going to reduce the number of people we speak with. And so, if I'm writing a story, I can say, you know, that person one, person two, and person three agreed that this is happening. Today, we might say, quote each of them individually as opposed to pulling their comments together. The authoritative nature of what we do is not going to change. That's who we are, and that won't change. But we're trying to be more thoughtful with how we use your time.
Thank you, Norma, for the question.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Mm-hmm. We had a tweet from a listener. It's the same as the Facebook message from Haley, which we didn't get to. And they're asking both of them, what are we talking about when we're talking about the size change? Is it the other paper size or this week's size? How do you describe it? You said it's a small, it's a new broadside, but
we're describing it as a new broadsheet. So it's about the size of the weeklies. There are two different sizes of weeklies. It's about the size of some of the weeklies. We're actually printing those. But we're going to have a lot of pages in our and a lot of sections where they won't. So that's about the size. No major metropolitan newspaper has done this. Some weeklies have done it. The technology is the first of its kind here. I don't want to get into it all because it's mind-numbing, but...
And an email from Jeff. Will the Daily Comics be in color?
No, not initially. I would love to do that if we can have the confidence that we'll have the color as regularly as we think we will. We'll add it, but initially we won't. Although some people don't want them color. Some people like the old black and white.
Change
to each his own.
It's the change issue.
That's right.
Stephen Komovas brought it up earlier, the issue of delivery and changing delivery
ending daily printings, for instance, in New Orleans, the Times-Picayune newspapers in Alabama last month announced it would end daily distribution of the Syracuse Post-Standard and Harrisburg Patriot News. I know your predecessor, Mike Curtin, has said that down the road, that's where a lot of newspapers are going, is they're going to start changing, you know, what we get on a daily basis on our front porch. What are your expectations about that? What do you see in terms of pulling back on what we get at home?
You know, barring a game-changing development like what we think we have, I think that could happen. But given the response to what we've done, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think...
Ever?
I don't think so. There's something powerful about the written word, the printed word. You know, I often, when I give speeches, ask people, you know, to raise their hand if they've got something that they or somebody they know has clipped from a newspaper. And every hand goes up. Sometimes it's some of Robin's recipes. And then I say, well, how many of you have, raise your hand if you've printed out something from a website and hung it on your refrigerator or on your bulletin board? Very few hands. Why is that? Because when we print it, it's to borrow an expression from Levi's, I think, you know, we're the genuine article. You can't go in and modify it. It's printed. On the website, you can go in and change it. We all know you can make a website and make it say anything you want. There's something different about having a printed story as opposed to something that you print out on your website. I don't know what it is. When I figure it out, I'll become a very wealthy person. But there's something tangibly different about it.
But do you think the next generation will appreciate that when they've grown up largely without that?
Well, that we'll find out. Interestingly, we've taken the new format to Ohio State. 60,000 students up there. One of them is my daughter. And they don't have a lot of extra cash. But we showed them this thing. And we've sold more subscriptions to the Dispatch in just a few, I think it's been about a month, than mm-hmm. we have ever, because they're excited about this.
Well, we shall see when we shall see. You say it's going to be before the election that the new format will be launched. So good luck with that.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for coming on. Ben Marison, editor for the Columbus Dispatch, and Robin Davis, as always, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Ann.
Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.